Blog Talk Radio.
We have all have troubles, trials, and tribulations. And many times you don't know about your neighbor until you try to tell them your trouble. And when you find out their trouble, you have to just hush. You find out that you ain't got nothing. But I came to tell you, just in case you don't know, take your burden to Jesus. Your burden, he will bear. Tell him your sorrow. Your sorrow, he will share. He's waiting to bless you with his outstretched hand. Tell him your trouble. He will understand. Oh, yes, he will. Give God a hand for that. Come on, put your hand together. Come on. Whoa.
Indeed, that's the Reverend F.C. Barnes and Company. Oh, my goodness, what a great gospel singer from the old black church, old school church, Reverend F.C. Barnes. Whenever I get homesick, I just play some Reverend F.C. Barnes and Company. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven. I hope that you know about taking your burdens to Jesus, because when you take your burdens to the Lord, he promises to take them off your hands. Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, casting all your cares upon him because he careth for you. Indeed, the Lord loves you, cares for you, and just take your burdens to Jesus. We're back in the book of Romans, the wonderful, wonderful book of Romans, and I hope and pray that you have been blessed as I have been blessed. We are now entering upon a verse 14 of Romans 16, and in verse 14, Paul salutes five men and some other brethren. Let's listen to the reading of God's word. It says here in Romans 16, starting at verse 1, have your Bibles opened as we make our way to verse number 14.
Romans 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them.
Salute Asyncritus and Phlegon. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. As always, we come to you in prayer, seeking to be blessed from the hands of our Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that today's meal, today's text, today's manna would fill us to satisfaction. Lord, we come to you because we are your people. Where else should we go but to God? We come to you in faith, knowing that you are the rewarder of them who diligently seek you. We come to you in prayer because we know that you're a hearing God and an answering God. We come to you because we want you to mold us, change us, transform us. So bless us, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts and our minds. We pray in Jesus' wonderful name. This text here, verse 14, Paul salutes five men by name, five. And he salutes a whole group of brethren who hangs out or fellowships with these five, who are in constant communion with these five. And we don't know who these five are. There's no additional information, no description. We can guess, assume that perhaps they're slaves or that they were once slaves and are now freedmen. They've been able to purchase their freedom. So we don't know who they are, but Paul enumerates them, and he says, salute them, espasomai. Now, of course, they are dear to Paul. These five men are dear to him. He uses this word espasomai. And again, we don't want to be redundant. We know what the word means. And Paul is laying out the sugar heavy on all these church members. He loves them all. They are all dear to his heart. They are all special. He remembers them. He has memories of their being together and the accomplishments that they've had, and perhaps the fellowship and the goods and the good food and the good times that they shared together. We know not in Rome, because Paul has not been to Rome. But somewhere in his walk in Christ, he has met these folk. He has fellowshiped with these folk. And now all of these folk reside in the Roman capital, the Roman capital called Rome. He says, I want you to salute Asyncritus and Phlegon. Phlegon. Again, the name Asyncritus and Phlegon, you won't find that in society today. I have not met one person called Asyncritus. I have not met one person called Phlegon. Not one. Not today. These are first century names. Asyncritus means incomparable. Incomparable. I am comparable. Incomparable. It means one without comparison. One who no one can rival. One above the others. Asyncritus. Well, isn't that what we are in Christ? Think about this, saints. The one who saved us, the one who redeemed us, the one who bears the nail prints in his hands and the spear cut on his side and the nail prints in his feet, that one is the ultimate incomparable one. He is without what? Comparison. And he lives in our hearts. And because he lives in our hearts, he changes our hearts. As a result of that, he makes us without comparison. Do you know that there's only one like you in all the world, in all of history, there has only been one like you? You are without comparison. You are. I am. Again, you are unique. You are one of a kind. Asyncritus. And more so, listen to me, more so if you let Jesus get a hold of your heart. Then he makes you especially unique. And you will be without comparison. You don't have to worry, do I measure up to people? Do people like me? You don't have to worry about any of that. Once you know who you are in Christ, and in Christ we are to be incomparable, without comparison. Now, some people might say, well, that's not good in your case. The fact that you're one of a kind and you're not there yet, well, I would say, let Jesus mold you. Let Jesus break you. Let Jesus give you a makeover. And when he does, through the power and the agency of the Holy Spirit, as he works out those rough edges in you and in me, we will be more like Jesus, the incomparable one. Then you have Phlegon. Phlegon. What does his name mean? Here's another clue. Phlegon means zealous. His name means burning. His name means flame. He's a flame, a torch, a burning. He's full of zeal. Isn't that what we should be in Christ? Should we, listen, as a pastor, I want to be on fire. I want to be a flame. I want to constantly be burning hot for the Lord. I want to be zealous of good works, always. Listen to me. If you are a phlegon, there are no half measures. If you are a phlegon, there's no 50%. It's 110% plus. Are you a phlegon? Are you on fire for the Lord? Do you bear the zeal of God's house in your heart? You know, I live for God's house. I live for God's people. I get up in the morning and I'm thinking about the saints. And I go to bed at night, and as I'm lying there with my head on my pillow, my last thoughts are the saints of God. How is this one doing, and how is that one doing? And even in my dreams, I'm dreaming church. Last night I had a dream, and I was dreaming with Pastor Brenda. Even in my dreams, I'm dreaming church, and I'm dreaming the work of the Lord. And all 24 hours, 7 days a week, I'm just thinking Jesus, thinking church, thinking the kingdom of God. I just want to be on fire for the Lord, burning, full of zeal, desirous to see the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's a phlegon. Are you a phlegon? Are you in a syncretist? Is Jesus making you unique? These names, although ancient and no longer in vogue, they're not in style. No one's going through any baby book picking these names, I can tell you that much. Today, I think the most popular name among boys is Jacob. A couple of decades ago, the most popular name was Michael. That's every baby boy was being named Michael. Today it's Jacob. Now, I don't know what the most popular girl's name today is, but there's got to be one. I can tell you one thing. No one's going into the baby boy book and saying, well, I think I'm going to name my son a syncretist. I don't think anybody's picking the name Phlegon. I know that if I suggested, if I had suggested Phlegon for Daniel, Sister Linda would have said to me, no, absolutely not. If I would have said to him, a syncretist, Linda, I think a syncretist, I think that's the name for me. I'm going to vote a syncretist. She would have said, well, I'm voting you down. A syncretist is not the name. But think about the meaning of these names. Think about the meaning, how the unique one, Christ, who has a name above every name, think about how he wants to make you unique if you would only let him do it. Yield to Christ. Let him mold you. Let him remake you. And then when he does, trust me, he'll light a fire in your heart. And the way he'll light the fire is by giving you the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you'll be a flame, a torch, a light, a burning lamp that will never go out in the midst of darkness. I want to leave you with the Reverend F.C. Barnes as he finishes that song. And as we have a few minutes here left of church, take your burden to Jesus.
Take your burden to Jesus. Your burden. Thank you. try.